Have you experienced God through his creation? Do you know him personally? Find out what that means today with Stuart Briscoe in part two of his message, What is God Really Like? But first, it's hard sometimes to know what God's will is for your life. That's why we want to send you a five-message series by the Briscoes to help you discover and live out God's purpose for you every day. It's a new Bible teaching called God's Will for My Life, and it's our way to say thanks for your gift this month to help more people hear powerful truths from God's Word through this broadcast. Your support is vital to keep this program going strong. So call today to give and request your copy of God's Will for My Life. 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Stuart with today's message.
In the Old Testament, we hear of God making a covenant with Noah. We hear of him making a covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob and with Moses. It's basically the same covenant. It is amplified. It is developed. It is redefined. But all the time, it is about God, the bigger one, coming to us, the lesser ones, and saying, I will be your God. I will lead you. I will guide you. I will provide for you. I will care for you. In response, I expect your loving, trusting, joyful, submissive service. Covenant. And God made a covenant with Noah. The covenant with Noah after the flood. He was the covenant. Basically, I'm committing myself to you, Noah, after this scary flood thing. So this is the covenant. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, cold and heat will not cease. Count on it. Covenant with Abraham. Abraham, I want to reveal myself as somebody who is intimately interested in you and who desperately longs for a relationship with you. In other words, Abraham, I want you to realize I am personal and I am relational. So Abraham, this is what I'm going to do. Abraham, I am going to make of you a great nation. Not only am I going to make of you a great nation, your progeny will become as numerous as the sand on the seashore and the stars in the sky. And he goes even further. Not only will I bless you, Abraham, I will make of you a great nation, and through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Covenant. Now we're getting beyond the unmoved mover and the uncaused cause and the frightening power. Now we're beginning to see that this frightening power and uncaused cause is personal and is relational, and it is possible for human beings to receive what he is revealing and respond appropriately. And now we've discovered a personal, relational, all-powerful God. But then he goes even further, because this promise to Abraham runs into all kinds of problems. And the people who are the children of Abraham do not keep up their end of the covenant. And they come under judgment. And eventually they finish up as slaves in Egypt. And they don't like being slaves in Egypt. And they grumble and they cry out. They become so numerous the Egyptians are afraid of them. The only way they can handle them is by a strong authoritarian rule. This strong authoritarian rule is oppressive. In the end, they become an abused subculture. They are slaves. Their human rights are totally ignored. They are abused on every hand. And they remember their covenant. And they cry out to the Lord. And the Lord hears them. And he says, I will deliver you. So he gets in touch with one of their number who's in disgrace, a man called Moses. God speaks to Moses, who gives every impression of being hopelessly out of touch with the God of the covenant. And he says to Moses, Moses, I am going to send you to Pharaoh. And you are going to go to Pharaoh and you're going to say to him, the God of my people, the God of my fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent me to you, Pharaoh, with a very simple message. Let my people go, that they may worship me. Now, Moses was, let's put it this way, less than enthusiastic about this commission. And his response was, oh, who am I? Who am I to do this? And God reminds Moses that he is the God of the covenant. He is the superior one. He is the big one. He is the one who's taking the initiative. What's your name, God? Says Moses. God knows exactly what Moses is up to. And so he says, enigmatically, my name is I Am. God doesn't say I was, I will be, and I am. He says I am, which means forget about time and forget about space. I transcend them. I'm outside the created order. I am utterly other. I am totally distinct. I am completely separate. I am holy. But he goes even further. He doesn't just say, I am. He says, I will be who I will be. And then he says, and I also will do what I will do. Moses, you got to come to terms with the fact of who I am. The transcendent, ruling, reigning one. And to show it, to prove it to you, Moses, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to bring the whole of my people out from under the slavery of the Egyptians. I am going to destroy those who have been trying to destroy you. I am going to bring you out and I am going to take you into a land of promise. My covenant to you. And God delivered precisely what he said. And suddenly they realized that the great I am, the all transcendent one, the uncreated one, the all powerful one, the personal one and the relational one was a loving, caring, saving Lord. And God is revealing himself to them.
More powerful teaching from the Briscoes is headed your way, so don't go anywhere. We've made a wide array of resources and content available to you online for free at tellingthetruth.org and on the Telling the Truth app. There, you can listen, read, and watch powerful teaching from Stuart and Jill on relevant topics like the sovereignty of God, the importance of the church, and how to grow closer with Jesus Christ. You can also request this month's featured resource as thanks for your gift of support to help share the abundant life Jesus offers with more people around the world. Visit us online or download the app today and experience life with Telling the Truth. Now, here's Stuart with the second half of his message. What is God really like?
So what would you expect? Revelation, reception, response. You'd expect the response of a worshiping, serving, loving, obedient people. And what did he get? Grumbling people, disgruntled people. And when Moses was taken up to the mountain to meet with God and to have further amplification of the covenant, the people couldn't be bothered to wait. They rejected God, and God said, "This is a rebellious people. And I've said that they can go into the promised land. Moses, you take them. I'm finished with them." And Moses remonstrates with God and said, "If you do that, God, nobody's going to take any notice of me. Just give me a clearer vision of yourself. Because you know what, God? You have called me to be leader of this people. They are unmanageable. They are ungovernable. I can't do it. If you aren't with us, if your presence doesn't go with me, show me your glory." In other words, I need to know you a whole lot better, God, than I know you now. And God says, "I'll tell you what I'll do. If I showed you my glory, it would burn you up. You couldn't stand the sight. In your humanity, you're not equipped for it. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a little glimpse of my glory by showing you my goodness and reminding you of my name. I'll show you my goodness and I'll remind you of my name." And this is where we come to Exodus chapter 34, which you may remember is my subject this morning. That was a brief introduction. So God says, "Moses, let me show you my goodness." And in Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7, God says this to Moses: the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. All right, let's get that last bit out of the way, because that's what we gag on usually. He says what? He does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. In the Old Testament, they had little concept of the life to come. There's very, very little information about the life to come. The New Testament, as a result of the resurrection of Jesus, obviously is hugely interested in the life to come. So the people in the Old Testament who had little concept of the life to come saw their legacy not being in eternity. They saw their legacy being in their children and their children's children. So that's why you hear them saying, "So-and-so was the son of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so." That's why Jewish names have Ben in them. So-and-so, son of Abraham. So in the same way that Swedes have son on the end of their name, Jewish people have Ben before their name. It's all about generations. It's all about family. And the result of it was this. They saw the judgment of God passing from one generation to the other. If you've got a real wicked guy, and judgment for sin is going to be down and on this earth in this lifetime, and this guy was so bad there wasn't long enough for him to be judged adequately, then they believed the next generation would be. And the next generation, God said, okay, but even if that were the case, there's a limit. There is a limit to the judgment. Now we're getting a picture of what God's like. Let me give it to you again. He is compassionate and gracious and patient and faithful and overwhelming in his love. He forgives our sin, but he will bring justice to bear on the unrepentant. So what have we got? We look in creation and we see an unmoved mover, an uncaused cause. We see an awe-inspiring force. But in covenant, we see him, personal, relational, revealing himself increasingly that people might know his ways and get to know him and respond appropriately. And as we look at the covenant, we begin to see his full beauty, compassionate, gracious, patient, loving, faithful, forgiving, and totally just and righteous. To the third way that God reveals himself to us, in Christ. In Christ. One day, one of Jesus' frustrated disciples said to him, if you'd just show us the Father, we'd be satisfied. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. God's revealing himself to us. Reveal, receive, respond. What's God really like? Well, that's the answer to who are you, God? But maybe the question we need to ask ourselves is, well, who am I? Am I somebody who knows God, who loves him, who honors him, who serves him, who trusts him, obeys him? For he is compassionate and gracious and slow to anger, full of loving kindness and faithfulness, willing to forgive. We need to bow before him. We need to bow before him and say, Lord, show me your ways that I may know you and respond appropriately.
Stuart, God is a God of judgment, but also a God of overwhelming love. Sometimes in our finite minds, those two don't seem to go together. But in reality, they do, right?
Well, it's certainly difficult for us to put together the fact that God is a God of judgment and at the same time a God of love. But we need to work on this because both are true. It may be helpful for us to recognize the way we go about life. As far as you and I are concerned, we would like very much to have justice done as far as our lives are concerned. We have an innate sense of what is fair. what is right, what is just. And we do insist that justice be done. Now, in actual fact, for justice to be done, wrong has to be punished and right has to be rewarded. And there needs to be the ability to differentiate between right and wrong. That is called judgment. Now, it's perfectly obvious that that is what we want to happen in our lives. At the same time, we also want to be loved. And so if we recognize we have an innate sense of the need for justice and an innate sense for the need for love, we should be very grateful that Scripture tells us that God is the one who is the source of judgment and justice and also the source of love itself.
Stuart, Christians are to be the representatives of Christ to the world, and yet we're increasingly pushed aside. Where do we go from here?
I think the thing that we need to recognize is this, that this world of ours was not particularly friendly to our Lord Jesus. In fact, as far as the Christian gospel is concerned, we recognize that the focal point of the Christian gospel is a cross. The symbol of Christianity is a cross. The cross was man's statement about Jesus. And they said, "We will not have this man to reign over us." Now, Jesus was very basic about this, very matter-of-fact about this, and he said to his disciples, if they don't want me, they won't want you. And so that is a perfectly logical thing that we need to grasp. We've got to come to terms with it. If we stand by our commitment to Christ, if we call ourselves Christians, which means those who belong to Christ, then we've got to recognize that there's something about Christ that our secular world does not like at all. And therefore, it's not a surprise if there are some things about us they don't like as well. However, that does not mean we should go about our lives being as objectionable as possible. What we should go about being is as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves, and leave the outcomes up to the Lord himself.
Understanding God's will for our lives can be a struggle. Maybe his will isn't what you expected, or maybe you just can't see how all the pieces fit together. That's why we want to help you discover God's plan by sending you God's Will for My Life. This eye-opening Bible teaching will help you to know who God wants you to be and what he wants you to do. God's Will for My Life is our thanks for your donation to keep telling the truth on air and online, helping you and others experience life in Christ. We don't want you to miss out on this encouraging resource, so call now and get your copy of God's Will for My Life. 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Thanks for being with us today. Join us again as the Briscoes share more powerful truth with you from God's Word. Listen in and experience life next time on Telling the Truth.